Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive.
It is honesty that lays a new foundation to rebuild trust. If you're not honest with the person and honest with yourself, you'll never rebuild a broken relationship.
In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today.
Let's go into a message taken from a recent Wednesday night Bible study here at Pace Assembly. This is Restoring Broken Trust. Let's go into the message with Pastor Rogers today.
Sometimes in our lives, we're looking at something that looks like it's solid and stable, perhaps in a building or whatever, a marriage, whatever it may be, and then suddenly in front of our eyes, it crumbles, perhaps from the inside out, whatever. The analogy I'm drawing for you here is the same thing that we watched, and you, if you remember, you were watching the television on that fateful morning of 9/11 when we watch these incredible towering giant buildings in New York City that nobody thought could come down. In fact, the very terrorists went there in 1993, took a truck bomb, went into the basement, blew it up, but it didn't move the buildings. But this time was different. To the horror of an entire nation, we watched what we thought was two of the most stable buildings, and it has all kinds of connotations to it, not only structurally, but it represented, in those twin towers, the economic systems, not just of the United States, but of the world. And we watched at around 8:30, 8:35, and then about 9 o'clock, as both of those massive towers came imploding and crumbling to the ground. And this is something that we rarely see the terrorist intent until it is too late, until the building is down or the plane or whatever that it may be. Relationships, many times, are just like that. You thought it was stable, and then all of a sudden, something happened. I have found out in my life and ministry that usually it's not all that sudden. Usually, it has been happening for quite some time, and then when you see things crumble or that you hear the words divorce or whatever that it may be, then there is this implosion and others then witness what's going on. When you look at an empty building site, and there was debate for many, many years as they were jockeying for builders and all kinds of things, and even questioning at the site of Ground Zero, should we even build here again? I'm talking about restoring broken trust here tonight. And that same question comes up whenever relationships are broken. Do I dare rebuild this? It's one thing, rebuild it, but do I dare rebuild something in the very location where it went down? What happens if it happens again? Those two questions are accompanied by a number of other ones. And all of them are legitimate. I'm just going to say to you that in marriage, there's not a marriage that's not going to have trouble in some point in that married life. The decision whether or not you're going to stick it out and stay it out is determined really as to whether or not the both parties are willing to do that, because it takes cooperation. And I'm saying that as a preference for this particular lesson, because in order to restore broken trust between two parties, it's going to take the cooperation of everyone, including God, in that situation. So with that in mind, restoring broken trust, it's not easy, but it is possible. With God's help, the Bible says, all things are possible. And so what you need to know, and what I was teaching Sunday night in the Kingdom Leaders, and even in the Sunday morning message this past weekend, is that restoration is a process. We don't like process. We like quick. We want microwave. But I'm telling you, based upon what knowledge I have, which is very limited, but I think I'm in line, because we saw the hurricane come through this area, and it was approximately 2 years before industry and so forth started coming back in and rebuilding, and rebuilding as far as businesses and so forth, and people moving to the area that rebuilt the infrastructure and the economy and all that kind of thing. When we were pastoring in Destin, Hurricane Opal comes through there and it does the same thing. It's approximately 2 years, and suddenly Home Depot and Lowe's and all that kind of stuff start showing up, and industry starts showing up, and people get rebuilt. I have witnessed, and many of you have too, Hurricane Michael is the worst of all the storms that I've ever seen. Some of you have gone down there with me, and it is worse than any of them put together. And I'm estimating in my mind, and I've heard it even just recently, that it will take a minimum of 5 years before they can ever see any restoration. 5 years. The question is, are you willing to stick it out until it can be rebuilt? Let's take that out of the question, out of the equation. Let's put this in there. How about when if you ever broken a leg or had an injury or whatever that it may be? I know that you think when you go to the doctor that, okay, I'm going to perform surgery, I'm going to do this right here, and then you're going to jump up off of the operating table and run out the door with your broken leg self. I'm just going to tell you, some of the most frustrating times of my life has been with this broken wrist and the time that I had to learn how to write with the left hand. My wife, who's left-handed, made fun of me the whole time. My notes and stuff look like hieroglyphics. I mean, I go back, I can look at some of my folders that I put my sermon titles on, and I said, wow, it was a bad day that day. It's a process. It's a process of healing. And then this eye and both of the eyes and all that surgery going on, and then a bubble hanging in there for almost 6 months to get rid of that. I'm just saying, restoration is a process. It is not an event. So teaching this tonight to you, one other statement in the room before you start writing some things down. You have heard this cliche before. Time is a healer. I just want to let you know, time heals nothing. But time does have its place in the restoration process. Are you with me? So, as we start to take notes and talk about some things here tonight, teaching this lesson tonight, I'm teaching this from all different perspectives of the restoration, the offender, the offendee, you know, people from the outside watching it happen, all of that. You're going to see it all in this. Whatever side or middle that you find yourself in here tonight, or have been in, or perhaps may be in the future, I want you to keep this lesson in your library, because you will need it sooner or later. It is every believer's desire to help lift the guilt and the shame, knowing that sooner or later we're going to need it ourselves. When you can help lift the guilt and shame off of someone else by restoring relationships, if it is within your power, the Bible says you should make peace. All right, so let me give you some terms about restoration. Y'all all right in here? I know I'm hitting in the right place tonight. I'm not even getting a straight up amen. I'm just getting some moans. All right, you got me back there? Here we go. Let me give you some terms about that deals with restoration. The first one is repentance. You're going nowhere without repentance. Okay? Repentance is the turning away from sin. The term sin in the Bible is identified as rebellion. Okay? So rebellion is sin, and rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, the Bible says. So you can't, there's not a little sin or a big sin, number one sin, number 10 sin, whatever. All sin must be repented of, all right? That means turning away from sin, repent. The terms return, pent, the pinnacle. That's what that means. It means returning back to the highest possible level in God. So it's not good enough for me to just say, I'm sorry. Now I've got to change and turn myself towards God. This is true repentance. And by the way, there is the fruit of repentance that should follow your confession and repentance. Repentance means a change of mind at its core. So true repentance has embedded in it godly sorrow. That's the reason why people do weep whenever they repent, and should. Bible says it's godly sorrow. I'm glad about your godly sorrow. I'm glad that if you're not sorry about it, you won't repent of it. It won't be genuine. You can't start a restoration process until people repent. And that doesn't just mean that it's all about you repenting. And you'll see that in this lesson here tonight. Then there is the term restitution. Now, let me just say this to you. You can get forgiveness from God, but the state of Florida may have consequences. Amen. So while the term restitution is part of the restoration process, you need to understand that it is not even identified as part of what we need to do in the New Testament. Since Jesus came, he paid the price on our behalf of restitution. So the only thing we must do is confess our sin before the Lord, get it right with one another, get it right with God. Now, that does not mean that if you have, like Zacchaeus in the New Testament, stolen money from the taxpayers, that you don't need to restore it. In fact, the Bible says that Zacchaeus paid four times the amount that he stole back to the people he stole it from. So restitution, my friend, sometimes, not that the Lord hasn't forgiven you, but if something has been stolen, you may need to make it right in that particular area. The third term is reconciliation. You cannot have reconciliation until you have had repentance and restitution. There's got to be, in other words, a connection that's made there. Okay? I do not want you to hear that I don't want you to hear me say that I've got to do all these steps in order to get forgiveness of my sins. The only step you need to make is to the cross and place your faith there and ask Jesus to forgive you, and you are instantly forgiven. Nothing added to the cross, nothing taken away. But hear what I'm telling you. Reconciliation is a critical part. The Bible deals with being reconciled unto God and reconciled, Paul says, to one another. So what am I saying? I'm saying that this is part of a believer's life and lifestyle to be reconciled to one another. If it is possible, you should make peace with one another. That doesn't mean that you're going to wind up going out to dinner again. I heard somebody in here go, thank you. I'll say it now, probably say it again later. There's a difference between forgiveness and trust. The fourth thing then is restoration. Now these terms and multiple other ones are identified in the process of restoring broken trust. But I just wanted to give you these four to kind of give you a concept and an idea of what it takes, because it is a process of restoration, a process. So here's some things you need to know. Falling down is not as bad as staying down. Falling down is not as bad as staying down. In fact, many leaders fall down but don't know how to fall up. In fact, the devil uses it as a weapon against believers, Christians, that once you fall, you can never get up again. You can never be restored again. But I just want to let you know, God is a God of the impossible.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.